Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 10th of March, 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul's continuing our series looking at the church in Christ, with standing and kneeling. The reading is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 24. We'll hear the reading and then Paul will start the sermon.
The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning at verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you may also know that how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
We've sung a couple of amazing songs this morning. Even if you didn't quite know them or you didn't know the words, they're songs that speak about us doing exactly what Paul says we should do in that reading from Ephesians. Now, when you take Ephesians chapter 6, there are about a million sermons in there. You'll be pleased to know you're only going to get eight. No, you won't, promise. Just one this morning. And we complete this week our look at this book of Ephesians. Now, I know some of you have been reading this letter once through each week. And if you have managed to do that, well done. Because if you have, I am convinced under God that you would have been enriched by the experience. If you've not managed to read it at all, can I suggest you don't feel condemned? But I'm going to suggest something to you. I want to encourage you to read it once this week. Because this letter from Paul to this church in Ephesus has some amazing, rich blessings for all of us. And I want you to be blessed. The only reason for asking you to read it is not that I may think, wow, why aren't we an amazing church? Everyone reads 25 pages of scripture an hour. But moreover, so that you will be blessed. And friends, as we conclude our look at this letter, I want to remind you why Paul wrote the letter. In this letter, Paul writes to do something amazing. He wants to expand the horizons of the readers so that they can read it, and then we who read it now might also understand better the dimensions of God's eternal purpose and his amazing grace. And come to realize the amazing direction and future that Christ has called his church to. And I would add this church to. I want to suggest, friends, that the letter that Paul writes to the Ephesians does the same for us here in Minehead as it did for those original readers. He wants us to understand better his purposes for us. He wants us not to go our way, but follow his way. Wants to transform and change us, not for our glory, but for God's glory. He wants us to learn and to acknowledge so that lives may be saved and transformed, families rebuilt, communities touched, the world changed. And he wants to do that here. It's really easy when we're Christians, isn't it, to look at other churches and think, it's amazing what God is doing over there. But actually, I want to say he wants to do something amazing here. And to make it even more personal, you might look at me and say, there's a perfect specimen of Christian manhood. You would be wrong. As the ironic laugh of the rain just said. But it's really easy. Because it's really easy. Because, friends, I too do this sometimes. To look at a pastor or a church leader and say they must have it all together. Got to tell you, I don't. We don't. But this amazing letter from Paul to the Ephesians asks us to seek our Lord. And in doing so, in prayer, to remind ourselves that we are uniquely and wonderfully and brilliantly made as his church here. See, if you leave it all to the pastor, we're not going to go very far. But if we do it together, we can go wherever the Lord wishes us to go. And I find that exciting, thrilling, challenging, daring, a bit scary, but awesome, wonderful, and magnificent. And Paul here wants to do all of that, remind us of all of that, just as he did at the beginning of Ephesus, the letter to the church in Ephesus. And therefore, I want to make a statement of fact, which we made a few weeks ago. So here's the fact. Jesus Christ is the head of this church, period. It's not you or me. And if it's not you or me, and it's not anybody else, then it must be him. And it is. And however awesome it might seem, we are plan A. There is no plan B. So if we don't follow Jesus and go his way, the question is not what will just happen here in this church, but what will happen out there in the community of Minehead. We said many times in this church we want Minehead to be touched and changed. But let me tell you, that's not going to happen unless we let the Lord touch and change us. And right here, at the end of this letter, Paul reminds his readers of the fact that we need to fight to win our community for Christ, and that the battleground is a spiritual one. We were talking earlier about the Jewish perception of the battleground, and June came up with a brilliant example, so I'm going to use your example, June, I hope that's okay, which is true, and that is to say to the Jew, even going to the toilet is spiritual. And we may say, how does that work? But the reality is they acknowledge God in everything. And it's that acknowledgement of God in everything that makes the reality of everything spiritual. So, if you worry about Brexit, Paul's plan is simple. Get on your knees and pray. Can you see how everything in that sense becomes spiritual? With the reality that's grounded in what Paul is saying here, because he reminds us that for those who are strong in the Lord, their victory is in Jesus Christ. And he encourages us to remember, friends, here's the good news of the morning. We could stop here, and many of you will say hallelujah. We could stop here by declaring here and now that no matter what the schemes of the enemy in this place or in this town, no matter how great the spiritual conflict may be, we have victory because Christ has victory. And the way we engage with that, the way we connect with that, the way we understand that is, according to Paul, through prayer. It's a sad fact that every pastor in the land will be calling their church to prayer this morning. And frankly, prayer meetings are probably some of the least attended meeting of the church. With the greatest respect to the girls' brigade, we can turn out to a barn dance, but we can't turn out to pray. What does that say about the Church of Jesus Christ and the emphasis we put on prayer? You sound stunned, but so we ought to be, really. Because we could spend hours looking at this passage, but we're not going to. And so here and now, I want to declare over Minehead Baptist Church, that friends, he loves you and me and us with a passion. with a passion that took him to the cross. And that cross has won the victory. And so confidently we declare he has already won here. And this morning his call to you and me is to metaphorically, if not literally, to get on our knees and get with the agenda and pray to him. And Paul uses these wonderful words in verse 18. He says, now pray, or depending on your version, and pray. In Greek, let's go a bit Greek on you, shall we? Incidentally, I have to tell you the truth. After 10 weeks of Greek at college, the principal of the college came up to me and he very, very gingerly, very lovingly took me to one side and said, you're probably better giving it up, aren't you? That's absolutely true. So, friends, my Greek knowledge, let's be honest, a lot of the time comes from studying those who know more than me. I'm just being blunt with you, okay? But according to those that know more than me, this words now pray or and pray in Greek is an imperative. In other words, Paul is not saying, and shall we pray? He is saying, pray. It's urgent, it's now, it's of the here and now. Earlier on we sang a song, didn't we? I will worship. I wonder. I'm going to ask in a while, we're going to sing it again. And I know I'm not told Roy this, so bless him. And instead of I will worship, I want to change the word worship. It won't come up on the screen, we haven't got time to do that. But I will pray now. And turn prayer from stop it from being this sense of I could do this if I want or not, or I've got so much going on in my life I haven't got time, or actually I don't pray as well as you do, Paul, or aren't you lucky to have gone to Bible college and learned how to pray, or any other excuse we might like to give. And friends, we all give excuses. To stop the excuses and make prayer what it is in Paul's world, which is a matter of will. And now pray, Paul says. You don't have a choice. In one sense, I'd like to lock the doors. In another sense, I realize if I do, you'd all run out the other one, wouldn't you? But I wonder if Paul is calling this church, dear church, to pray earnestly, ardently, urgently. We're called to prayer. Why? Because standing and kneeling in prayer is where we fight. And friends, here's the deal. I don't know how many of us there are in church this morning, but however many of us there are, we are the most dangerous group of people to the enemy that are meeting in Minehead this morning. And it's spiritual warfare. We fight not against each other, but we fight against the darkness and the principalities of Satan and his workers. This place is dangerous this morning, because if you and I took the Lord literally, took Paul's word seriously, got on our knees metaphorically or literally and prayed, the enemy would quake. Because when we let prayer into our lives and prayer into our community, all heaven is let loose. I ask you the question. This morning, the invitation is to come to your Lord in total and utter reliance on him and pray. Do you want to go down the dangerous route with me this morning? If that's you this morning, if you think this morning, and I know some of you do, let's do this. Hallelujah. But if you think this morning, well, hold on a minute. I've still got 101 reasons not to do this. Then this morning, there are some verses in this scripture for you. Verse 18 goes on to say, we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Do you know, I love that. Here's why I love that. Because it doesn't say you should pray in the Spirit when you have the right words. It doesn't say you should pray in the Spirit when the circumstances are right. It doesn't even say you should pray in the Spirit when you feel like it. Did you know that? It says on all occasions. I once went to church. I really didn't want to lead this church this time. it was one of those days when I thought everything would go wrong. And I remember before the service saying to God in my own prayer life, I don't really want to do this morning, Lord, but actually I'm going to anyway. And by the way, this is the best prayer you're going to get from me, so get used to it. And I thought, you stroppy, I'll leave the blank. We got to church with a time of prayer. It was on that occasion that the most profound prayer I have ever heard in my life was given by this young man. And all he said was one word. And the church broke in prayer for its Lord. And if you don't think you can bring one word to your Lord, well, I think you can. And later on, I'm going to ask you to do that, actually. Profoundly, prophetically, words spoken. Because they don't have to be skillfully crafted, do they? If we pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit have his way in us, then prayer is a natural thing. Or Romans 8:26, also written by Paul, says this. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. How about that for powerful words of prayer? Have you ever thought, actually, I don't know what to say, but I'm just going to let the Spirit groan to you, Lord? If you are that worried about saying anything, what a wonderful way to pray. Or to put it another way, because I'm quite me, I remember when I first, in my own life, said, Lord, I want to let the Spirit loose in my life. I'm not even sure what's going to happen here, but bluntly groan. God had his way. Amazingly, prophetically. This is not about what we do. It's about letting God do. About letting go. About accepting that whatever prayer you have in your heart this morning, even if it is, Lord, let this man shut up soon. Whatever prayer is in your heart, bring it to God. Because the Lord honors you, longs for you to come before him. You are plan A, I am plan A, for mine head and for the world. But the good news is, even when we don't know what to do or what to say, the Holy Spirit aids us. Which means, friends, your prayers are vital to the life of this church. Because only when you pray do we become whole. Because only you can pray like you do. You ever tried to pray like somebody else? I once went to Spring Harvest. Actually, those of you that will know it, before the glamour days of Minehead. Actually, Prestatyn was our destination. Up on stage was a chap called Eric Delve. Anyone heard of Eric Delve? And he prayed, and I thought, wow! And I wrote his words down. What a prayer! And I went home, and I tried to be Eric Delve. And guess what happened? Everyone went, that wasn't you, was it? True, though, it wasn't me, it was Eric Delve. And I remember going into another church, Lewis Methodist Church, if you want the church, thereafter, and thinking, Lord, all I can bring you is what I can bring you. It was the time of the Falklands War. And I prayed. I prayed because God put it on my heart that someone who had a relative on a ship, that they would be kept safe. And after we'd prayed, this lady came up to me in floods of tears, saying that she'd come to church that morning. She didn't normally go to church, but her son was aboard HMS Sheffield. You may remember that got bombed. And her prayer that morning had been, I'll go, Lord, but I need to know from you that I should go. See, that just touched her. I didn't know what I was praying, but the Spirit did. And if we're plan A, and if we're at war, then what's at stake? Ephesians 3:10 to 11 says this. His intent is that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amazing words. Because according to Paul, what's at purpose here, what's at stake here, is God's eschatological, or using a bit few less fancy words, the God's end time purpose. And the titanic conflict between God and the powerful spiritual forces arrayed against him. We are the stormtroops of the kingdom. And actually, it all starts when we get on our knees and pray. So friends, I want to ask you a personal question. Actually, a series of questions. And here they are. I believe, rather, that the Lord wants us all to answer individually and collectively as a church. And when I was seeking the Lord, what do you want to do with us this morning? I felt the Lord say this to me. He wants you to be aware that if you answer yes, whether in your own heart or aloud if you wish, you are answering yes to the call to prayer, individually and collectively. Friends, do not answer yes unless you wish to go his way. Because be under no illusions, he wants to take you seriously this morning. He wants to invite you to commit to spending time with him. He's asking you to reprioritize your life, to put him first. And he's asking us as a church to do the same. I believe this morning the Lord wants us to take him literally at his word and understand that, as Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 3, he has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And if we take him seriously, and if we answer yes, then in this church, I genuinely believe that today and hereinafter, all heaven will break loose. So here's my questions. In your heart, be ready for them. Only answer yes if you will, and you wish, and you want the Lord to change you, and to change the church. Do you want to experience freedom in your life from all that binds you and keeps you oppressed? Do you want Christ's victory to become a reality in your life? Do you want this church to experience victory in this town in the name and through the power of Jesus Christ? Do you want to see Minehead won for the Lord? And frankly, friend, are you bothered at all? Those are the questions of this morning. I invite you in a moment's peace and silence to answer to your Lord. Friends, if you answered yes to any of those questions this morning, there is only one place where the battle begins: in prayer. Metaphorically or literally, I invite you to get on your knees, giving all you can to God in prayer, letting the Holy Spirit guide you and equip you for prayer. Now, those of you who have been watching the time will notice the message is shorter than usual. Everybody is now going hallelujah. But that's because this morning I believe the church is calling this, that God rather, is calling you individually and this church to prayer. And we're going to spend some time simply coming before our Lord in prayer. As I was asking God what he wanted me to do this morning, I believe he asked me to do something which is probably the most dangerous thing a minister could ever do. Here's the danger. This is yours. If you believe God has a prayer for this church, I invite you to come and pray. For some of you, I invite you to do that which you never thought you could do, to come up here and pray. Because in the moving, in the going, we'll acknowledge that this is of the Lord. If you can't get here physically, I invite you to put your hand in the air or to stand. Jason has a microphone and he'll come to you. There is a call on this church to pray. Here is where we respond. The choice is yours and mine. But I ask you to respond not for my sake, but that you can acknowledge what God is doing here this morning in your life, in this church life. Acknowledge that he is being serious with you and serious with us. And if you have a picture or a prophecy that you think needs sharing, please come and see me before you share, so that together we can discern whether the time is right, here and now, or maybe sometime in the future, for you or for us all. Friends, I believe the Lord wants to minister among us this morning by his Holy Spirit in truth, through prayer, picture, dream, prophecy. So come and acknowledge him who is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and has already won the victory. Come, lead us in prayer. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.